Very good. I think the children have one more song to teach the adults. You guys remember the two promises? You practiced it, huh? You guys can stand up. You guys want to stand up on the stage? You guys think you guys can do that? Yeah, okay. You guys think you guys memorize it? You guys memorize the lyrics? Yeah, you guys memorize. So I think the adults might need the lyrics, huh? Okay, you guys ready? Any children, you guys want to come up with this? I think we got a couple more children here. You guys remember the two promises? We're gonna sing the two promises together, all right? Stand up this way. So the lyrics are over here, for those of you who don't know it. Smile. You guys ready? Okay. I vow to develop understanding in order to live peacefully with people, animals, plants, and minerals. Animals, plants, and minerals. Can we have all the kids do that? Can all the kids do that? Come on, we need your support too, okay? Come on, everybody stand up. Come on. Come on, everybody. Yeah, right here. There we go. Okay, I'll stand to the side now. You guys ready? And smile. Yeah, we've seen stronger, huh?
Can we hold the paper this way?
Okay. Yeah, if you forget, then look over here, okay?
Are you that way?
You ready? Wait for it, okay. Smile. You guys ready? I vow to develop understanding in order to peacefully with people, animals, plants, and minerals. Animals, plants, and minerals. I think there was a request for I Like the Roses again. Okay? Alright. Okay. We're gonna try that one. We're gonna do I Like the Roses, okay? Okay. That's right. I like the roses. I like the daffodils. I like the mountains. I like the rolling hills, I like the twinkling stars when the sun goes down. Doobity 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 doobity. I like the roses, I like the daffodils, I like the mountains, I like the rolling hills, I like the twinkling stars when the sun goes down. Doobity 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 doobity. Wow, very good. You guys think you guys know I Love Nature? I Love Nature, you guys remember that song? Okay, you guys remember? Okay, I Love Nature, okay? This is a new song, I don't know. Okay, ready? You guys ready? I'm so sorry, that's me, we'll do better this time, okay? That's my fault, okay? You guys ready?
I love nature, nature is good. The forest is my classroom, the earth is my school. Trees are my teachers, animals are my friends, and on this grow all life.
Very good. Yay. Okay, so maybe we can slowly exit the stage. Everyone come back. Hey, can we go back? We can go down here.
Dear friends, I may be a little bit late today. He's with the acupuncturist. This morning he could not sleep last night and have pain in his chest. But he said that I want to commit with my Sangha. So he came, and so now he's again with the acupuncturist. But I want to share to you that when I was a little child, a young person like that, and I yearn to help poor children, on the street children who have nothing to eat and have to go and shine the shoes. And with my young age, I don't know what to do. So I said that maybe if I ask a lot of money, nobody give me. So I asked everyone to give me one dong. In Vietnam, one dong is just enough for a piece of bread, not even butter. But I said that one dong a month. And also a handful of rice every time you cook, five bowl of rice, you give one handful. I give them a box. And every week I go and I can collect a lot of rice, And I asked many of my friends, knock the door of other people and ask a handful of rice. And thanks to that, I can have a lot of money to help street vendors to set up their business and many other little things. So now I would like to invite you to join me in that job to help Plum Village, because with the age of Thai, he has so many aspirations he wants to realize before he transforms in other manifestation. So he said he have more than 700 monastic spiritual children and many hundred thousand of lay friends like you who follow his teaching. And so he was, he said that, oh, we have to make up a wake-up group for young people to go around and wake people up to protect the environment, to protect the planet, and don't let people to waste all the resource of the earth. And he want to help young people to do that, to other things. And we have a monastery in everywhere, in Vietnam, in Thailand, in Hong Kong, in Germany, in France. In France, we have 4 monasteries. And we do not build the temple. We only build just enough room for people to sleep. And a lot of activities is outdoor. And also, if we have to build something very fancy, it's just the big meditation hall and conference room for people to come and listen to Thai Dhamma talk. Even that, in Plum Village, in summer, we have to have many groups to have to sit outdoor under the tent. And so many projects. So I'm going to distribute. We let in the information desk that we call them the continuation of Thich Nhat Hanh in many forms. And if you can give £5 per month, is or £10 and according to you. But the smallest amount that you may forget and is automatically take from your bank account, just a little amount. But a pledge to give regularly every month. So by that way, we can have a lot of contribution. Even you are very humble in your salary, but yeah, £5 per month is not too much. And if you pledge to give regularly like that, or £10 or £15, and we'll do a number of great work to continue the teaching of Thai. Because now I think that Sister Gina is around. Yeah. We have Plum Village 30 years of practice already. But in Upham Lab, the monk have a quarter for monk, where the monk can live together with a dozen of room, and each room 4 or 5 months to stay together. But in Low Hamlet, Sister Gina is not able to build the quarter for the nuns yet. And she decided that she start anywhere. If there is no money, she just build 1 room, and then 2 room, and 3 room, until we have about how many rooms? She has 50 sisters. So at least 10 rooms for each room, 5 sisters. And it may cost a lot because we have to do accordingly to the norm request by French people. Usually in Vietnam, in Thailand now we have 170 monks and nuns, and we build in a very humble thatch roof. But it's not possible to do like that in France. And they estimate almost €700,000. And we don't know what to do, but it's okay, we start. If we have €50,000, we start. And then I think that helping hand will help. Up Hamlet, they also need a toilet, public toilet for people, because people come a lot and they consider Plum Village like their home. And they just come, even sometimes some of them do not inform. They bring their tent and go and they put their tent in some corner in the forest, and they came to registration. They said, I already put my tent there, could you please? And so we don't have the toilet block for them in the forest. Of course, we can exchange in the nature. But the government will not allow like that. So the information is not best, you can take it.
Sangha is invited to come back to our breathing so that the collective energy of mindfulness will bring us together as an organism, flowing as a river with no more separation. Let the whole Sangha breathe as one body, chant as one body, listen as one body, transcending the boundaries of a delusive self, liberating from the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality complex.
From the depths of understanding, a flower
from all afflictions. Thank you. Good morning, dear friends. Today is Sunday, April the 8th, 2012, and we are on our fourth day of the retreat with the theme Cultivating Happiness. There is a meditation practice called a Pebble Meditation. And each person is supposed to have four pebbles to do the meditation. Pebble meditation was invented 30 years ago for the children who came to practice. It was a retreat only for children. There were about 300 children coming from many states to the city of Santa Barbara, California, in order to practice, only children. And their parents came also to support. And that was 30 years ago. And we invented the Pebble meditation for children. We had a very happy retreat for children. We learned many things, including the practice of hugging meditation. I remember that that day I did hugging meditation with the children, and they stand a long line. It takes time to hug a child. And I noticed that when a child hugs you, he'll hug you 100%. And the hugging can be very deep, very wonderful. We learn many other things, including Pebble meditation. And each person has a little bag. And they collected four pebbles, and they wash the pebble, and they dry, and they put into a bag. And at the time of meditation, they bring they take the bag out. And a circle of children, like five or six or seven or eight, sit in a circle. And each person could take out the four pebbles and put it on their left. And one of the children played the role of the bell master. And after having listened to the three sounds of the bell, everyone picked up the first pebble and looked for 1 second or two. The first pebble represents a flower. And when I pick up the first pebble, I look at it and I say, "You represent a flower." And that takes only 1 or 2 seconds. And then you put it on the palm of your left hand. And you put your left hand on your right hand. And you begin to breathe in. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. While breathing in, you should see yourself as a flower, because the human body is as beautiful as a flower. Whether you are a child or you are an adult, you can be very beautiful as a flower. Yesterday we said that every human being is a flower in the garden of humanity. And if we know how to practice, we can preserve our flowerness, our freshness for a long time. And then we have something to offer to the people we love, our freshness. If you are not fresh, we don't have much to offer to the person we love. That is why this meditation on the flower will help us to restore our freshness, restore our flowerness. We might have suffered a little bit too much. We have lost some of our freshness and flowerness. That's why we need to practice going back to our flowerness. Therefore, breathing in, I see myself as a flower, as a real flower, a human flower. And breathing out, I feel fresh. And that is to cultivate what we call a freshness and beauty. Everyone wants to be beautiful and fresh. If you get angry, if you get upset, if you get too tired, we are no longer very fresh. And we don't have much to offer to the person we love. That is why this practice is to cultivate freshness, beauty. And you do three times. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Your body is a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. And during that time, you make yourself fresh, smiling. It's very, very helpful to smile during the time you breathe out. It may take 2 or 3 seconds to breathe out. And during that time, you allow yourself to be fresh and you smile. When you smile, all the muscles in your face relax. And all muscles on your shoulders also relax. You are there not having to do anything. You don't have to study to do any kind of work. You just enjoy breathing in to see yourself as a flower. And breathing out, allow yourself to become a flower again. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. 3 times. And then you pick up the first pebble and you put it on your right. Now you take up the second pebble and you look at it. And you know, you, the second pebble, you represent a mountain. A mountain that is something very solid, very stable. And I want to be as solid, as stable as a mountain. I want to be stable. I want to be reliable. If I know I'm not stable, I cannot be a happiest person. And the other person cannot rely on me because I'm not reliable. I change too quickly. I am not stable. I am not solid. And that is why we need the second pebble representing a mountain. It takes 1-2 seconds to recognize the second pebble as representing a mountain. And then you put it on your left hand and you meditate. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. And you sit in such a way that you are stable. Even someone come and push, you still stay firm. And this position is very good. This lotus position is quite a good position, very solid, very stable. So it is in this position that the second exercise can be best as a practice. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. You sit with solidity and stability, and you are like a mountain. Believe it or not, there is a mountain in us. And we should allow the mountain to manifest so that we can be stable and solid. And another condition of happiness. If the other person is not solid, is not stable, is not reliable, that person suffer, and you have to suffer with him or her. That is why it's very important to practice so that you may become more solid, more stable. 3 times. And then you put the mountain down. And you pick up the 3rd pebble representing still water. Water. When I went to Switzerland for the first time, I visited many beautiful lakes up on the mountains. So many beautiful lakes. And I saw that the water was very still, very calm, very still. And the water, because it is still, it's calm, it reflects the sky. It reflects the cloud, reflect the mountains, reflect the branches very clearly. And if you have a camera, you can aim at the water and you can take the picture of the sky, of the mountain in the water. When you are calm, when you are still, when you are peaceful, you reflect things as they are. You don't distort things. You have no wrong perceptions, and that is peace. So the 3rd pebble represents still water, means peace. If we do not have enough peace in us, we cannot be a happy person. And that is why the 3rd pebble is to help us to have more peace, more tranquility, more calm, more stillness. And when you put still water on your left hand and breathe, you practice breathing in, I see myself as still water. You can visualize a lake, absolutely still, absolutely calm, reflecting sky, mountains, and clouds. And you feel that calm is coming to you, and you feel peace within yourself. With freshness, with solidity, with peace in you, you have a lot to offer to the person you love. And all these things you cannot buy in the supermarket. You know. No matter how much money you have, you cannot buy freshness, flowerness, solidity, and peace. We have to practice. If in school, teachers and students practice, they will be happy teaching and learning together, and the class will be a beautiful place to be. 3 times with still water. And then the last pebble. The last pebble represents space. Space. Infinite space. Freedom. A person who has no freedom, no space inside of her, cannot be a happy person. So we practice so that we can have a lot of space inside of us and around us. Freedom. Freedom from anger, freedom from fear, freedom from craving. And when you are free, you radiate happiness. Imagine the full moon traveling in the sky. because the sky is empty. The sky is huge. There is a lot of space around the moon. That is why the moon is so beautiful, because she has a lot of space around her. Imagine there were 1 million moons at the same time in the sky. There will be less space, and the moon will not look as beautiful as she does. So when you arrange flowers, there is an art of arranging flowers. If you are a good practitioner of Ikebana, arranging flowers, you would allow each flower to have enough space around her to radiate her beauty. You don't need a lot of flowers. You don't need 50 flowers. You need only a few. And you give each flower enough space around so that she can radiate her beauty. So a person is like that. A person without space in her heart and space around is not a happy person. Therefore, if you love him or her, one of the things you like to offer him or her is space. Offer your beloved one some space. Do not impose on him your ideas, on her your ideas. It's very kind of you to offer him or her space in your heart, in her heart, and around her. Pebble children were designed for children, but the adults, they love it very much. So each of them, the parents also made a small bag and went to fetch four pebbles, and they love doing pebble meditation together. You know a mantra? A mantra is a formula, a sentence that you, when you pronounce, will make a miracle. And the first mantra that we practice at that retreat is, "Darling, I'm here for you." And I like the children to learn the first mantra today and practice a few times today. I am here for you. Darling, I'm here for you. That darling may be our mother, our father, our brother, our sister, our teacher, our colleagues, our husband, our wife. And in order to make him or her happy, you go to him or to her and pronounce the mantra, "Darling, I am here for you." And if you know how to pronounce these words, you can make him or her happy right away, and you will be happy at the same time. The way to pronounce that mantra is that you do it with mindfulness and concentration. And that you have to learn. Darling, I am here for you. When you love someone, you would like to offer him or her something beautiful, good. Precious. And what is the thing that is most precious to offer to your beloved one? It's not something you can buy in the shop, in the marketplace. It's nice to buy something and to offer him or her, yes. But that is not the best thing to offer. The best thing you can offer him or her is yourself, your person, And if you are fresh as a flower, if you are solid like a mountain, if you are peaceful like still water, if you are free like space, and then you have a lot to offer him or her. And these things you know very well that you cannot buy in the supermarket. You have to practice. And when you come to a retreat, you learn this kind of practice. And if you do well, you can teach, you can tell your friends in school to do. If you are fresh, you offer your beloved one your freshness. If you are solid, stable, you offer him your stability and solidity. If you are peaceful, that is a wonderful gift. And if you are free, and then freedom space is what you give. So before you pronounce the mantra, a mantra means a sacred formula that can perform a miracle of happiness. And that is why you should not read the mantra without mindfulness and concentration. No. Before you pronounce the mantra, you have to practice some mindful breathing, especially with the pebbles. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I am fresh, I smile. Breathing in, I am a mountain, I am solid, I am reliable. Breathing in, I am still water, calm, peaceful. Breathing in, I am space, I feel free. And if you practice like that, sitting or walking, you become a flower, a real flower. You become a real mountain, a real still water and freedom, space. And then you go to him or her and open your mouth, look into his eyes and pronounce my mantra. Darling, I'm here for you. It's my gift. It means that you have to offer him your presence. If you are a true lover, and then you know the most precious thing you can offer your beloved one is your true presence. Your presence with freshness and solidity. You cannot love unless you are there. How can you love if you are not there? So in order to be there, you have to practice. To practice, to produce your presence. And breathing in and out with the pebble is the best way to produce a beautiful presence. And with that presence, you go to him or to her and say, darling, I'm here for you, this is for you. And I'm sure that the person will be very happy and you'll be happy at the same time. And you know something, even if the other person is not in front of you, even if the other person is in his office, you can still do that. You can use your telephone. You hold your telephone like this. This is not a telephone, this is a watch. But I pretend it to be a telephone. By the way, I do not have a telephone. Holding the telephone, you breathe in and out. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. 3 times. And I compose the number. And why the telephone ring on the other end of the line, I still continue to breathe in and out to be a flower in order to be space. And when I hear the voice of the other person, hello, and you smile and you say, darling, you know something? I'm here for you. And that sure will make him very happy, make her very happy. So I don't want to give too many mantras, just one mantra today. And I hope that everyone will have a chance to practice this mantra today with the person who is with us in this retreat, and maybe with the person who is not there. So when you hear the small bell, you might like to stand up and bow to the Sangha before you go out and practice. Have a good day. See you later. Dear friends, yesterday we spoke about insight, the insight of interbeing, which is the removal of all notions, including the notion of being and non-being, birth and death. We suffer because we have notions, and we are caught in these notions, and among them, the notion of happiness. We have an idea of what happiness is. And that might be an obstacle for our happiness. Our view of happiness might be a wrong view. We think of happiness in terms of fame and wealth and power and sex. We think of happiness as the opposite of suffering. Happiness as being possible without suffering. We might think that suffering is the opposite of happiness, but in reality, suffering plays a very important role in making happiness. So our mind is full of discrimination and wrong perceptions, and that is why the practice of meditation is to be still, to have the time to look deeply into the heart of reality and discover the nature of interbeing, so that we'll be free from every kind of wrong notions, discrimination, and so on. That is the insight of interbeing. And in the teaching of the Buddha, that insight is the flower, the fruit of our practice. And if we practice mindfulness and concentration, well, that insight will be the fruit of our practice. And in Buddhism, we speak of that insight. In terms of right view. Samadhi. And concentration is a practice that can lead to insight, to right view. And together with concentration, we have mindfulness. So mindfulness, concentration, and insight are called the three trainings. And that is the heart of Buddhist practice. Our daily practice is to generate these three kinds of energies: mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And in the beginning of our retreat, we have said that insight is might not be something very far away. Insight can be right there as soon as we produce the energy of mindfulness, like breathing in mindfully. You might get some insight right away, the insight that you are alive, that you are there. And to be alive is a miracle, the greatest of all miracles. That insight can be got in 1 or 2 seconds just because you breathe in mindfully. And when you breathe out, you can already celebrate the miracle of being alive. So let us not think of insight as something far away, that we should practice 8 years or 10 years in order to begin to have some insight. When you make a step in mindfulness, mindfulness and concentration may help you to realize that you are in touch with Mother Earth. You are in Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is in you. You and Mother Earth are not two separate entities. That is already an insight. That remove discrimination. Usually we say that man and the environment, and we think that there are two things, man and environment. But the fact is that we are part of an environment, and the earth is in us. You cannot take one out of the other. And you transcend the tendency of dualism, discrimination between you and Mother Earth, between man and the environment. You are the environment, and the environment is you. So insight can come right away, provided that it's real mindfulness and concentration. Insight described in the eighth noble path as right view is a kind of view that is free from all views, all wrong views. The view of birth and death are wrong views. The view of being, non-being are wrong views. There are many wrong views at the foundation of our suffering. So removing wrong views means to allow happiness to be possible. So the real practice, the basic practice in the tradition is to remove wrong views. And any view rests a risk to be a wrong view. Your view of happiness, your view of suffering can be a wrong view. So with right view, we can produce what we call right thinking. Right thinking is thinking in the line of right view. Right view is free from discrimination, free from notions. That is why right thinking is the kind of thinking characterized by the absence of discrimination, separation, and so on. So a thought produced on the ground of right view will be free from discrimination. Will be reflecting the insight of interbeing. Will have the nature of right understanding. Will have the nature of compassion. A thought like that can begin to heal you and heal the world. If you produce a thought full of compassion, understanding, and free from discrimination, that thought is already healing and nourishing to you and to the world. And that is right thinking. Most of the thoughts we produce may not be right thinking. If we produce a thought of hate, of anger, of fear, of despair, that thought can destroy our health and destroy the health of the world. Imagine a terrorist thinking in terms of hate, anger, discrimination, punishment. He's been burned by the flames of anger, discrimination, despair, the desire to revenge, to punish. That thought that he's produced does not have understanding and compassion and characterized by discrimination and hate and fear. So when you produce a thought full of hate and despair, we destroy our body, our mind, and we destroy the world. That is why it's very important to learn to think in terms of right thinking. And right thinking is only possible when there is right view. Inside, the inside of interbeing, no discrimination. And the ultimate purpose of the practice is to produce right view, which means the inside of interbeing, free from discrimination. And it is possible for us to produce thoughts in the line of right thinking every day. Every thought has the energy of compassion and understanding And as a good practitioner, we should be able to produce many thoughts like that every day for our own healing, transformation, and the healing of the world. And with mindfulness, we would know that it is a thought of compassion or not. It is a thought of discrimination or not. We would know. And then with the insight of inner being, you can also produce what we call rice fish. If we do have the insight of inner being, what we say, we are free from discrimination. What we say will be characterized by understanding of the suffering inside and the world. What we say will be characterized by the presence of compassion. And anything we say like that has the power to heal ourselves and the world. And we can say many things like that a day. We can write a letter full of compassion, understanding, and the healing take place while we are writing. The other person has not seen, has not read the letter. But during the process of writing a letter like that, in the line of rice speech, you heal yourself and you heal the world. And you might like to use your computer and write an email, practicing right thinking. Whatever you write, reflect only understanding and compassion. That is an act of healing. And your telephone. You can make use of your telephone in order to heal yourself and the world. Say something in the line of understanding and compassion. No hate, no anger, no discrimination. And this is possible with the insight of inner being, right view. And then with right view, we can produce also action. Action that can heal, that can protect, that can save. The Chinese word I use here means right karma, karma. And the Sanskrit word karma means action. And this is the action performed by the body. Anything you perform with your body can be on the line of right action. They have the power to protect life. They have the power to support, to save, to help, remove suffering, and bring happiness. And a good practitioner may perform many actions like that every day. But in the tradition of Buddhism, action is not only performed by the body, it is also performed by the speech and by the mind. So action, karma, has three aspects, triple action: body, speech, and mind. Triple action. triple action. And the human being is defined by his or her action. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre said something very similar. How to define man? What is the best definition of man? And he said, man is the sum of all his actions. L'homme est la somme de ses actes. M1, M12, de ses actes. Man is the sum, the totality of his action. It means the value of a person is seen in his thought, his speech, and his action. And these things are what we produce in our daily life. And that is our continuation. Imagine an orange tree standing in the backyard. The orange tree can produce beautiful leaves, orange leaves. She can produce beautiful orange blossoms. And she can produce beautiful red oranges. And that is the fruit of the purpose of a tree, to produce leaves, blossoms, and fruits. So the human being is a kind of tree, and she produces thought, speech, and action. And that is his value. And nothing can be lost. Any thought that you produce will continue always, like a cloud. A cloud can never die. A cloud can become snow or rain or ice, but a cloud cannot become nothing. So any thought that you produce by your mind, whether in the line of right thinking or wrong thinking, they are there to last. And they will continue you. You are not only this physical body. You are what you produce. You are your action. And among your actions, there are thoughts that are produced either in the line of right thinking or wrong thinking. Wrong thinking can cause much harm to you and to the world. Imagine a person that only produces thought of hate and anger and despair. Thought like that can be very powerful, can lead him to suicide, can lead him to commit acts of terrorism and destroy the life of thousands of people on a plane or in a double tower. So it's a formidable, powerful energy, your thought. So as soon as you produce a thought, that thought will have an action on your health and on the health of the world. That is why you have to be very careful about producing a thought. We should learn to produce a thought full of understanding and compassion that will begin to heal us and heal the world. That is an art, the art of thinking. And if we have the right view, we have the insight of inner being, it will be possible, easy for us to produce beautiful thoughts like that every day that make us happy, our beloved one happy, and the world happy. And if we produce thought of hate and despair, we destroy us and the world. What if yesterday I have produced a thought of hate and I had the intention to punish? Is it too late because I produced that thought yesterday? You might ask. It's not good to produce such a thought because it is going on now. It's your continuation. And that is not a beautiful continuation. You don't want to be continued like that. So today, looking back, I regret that I have produced such a thought of anger, hate. And what should I do? So the practice is to sit down and breathe and produce a thought of an opposite nature, a thought of non-discrimination, a thought of compassion, understanding. And as soon as the new thought is produced, full of understanding and love, that thought will catch up very easily with the other thought and neutralize it right away, because the nature of our thought is non-local. It does not have to travel much. It can catch up the thought of yesterday very easily, and you can neutralize it. Everything comes from the mind. So it is possible to repair the past. The past is still available. And if you are established in the here and the now, you have the opportunity to repair the past. Even if our parents have done something regrettable, even if our ancestors had done something regrettable, the past is still there, and we continue to suffer, and our ancestors continue in us to suffer. So with the Dharma, with the practice, we sit down and we embrace that, and we produce that kind of thought of compassion, understanding, so that we can neutralize what was wrongly done in the past. It is possible. And liberate us, and liberate our parents and ancestors. This is possible. And our ancestors expect us to do that. It's nice to encounter the teaching and the practice. And with that practice, we can change the past. And of course, change the future. If you don't do anything, if you let things go in this course, there will be the extinction of many species on Earth. That is our future. But if we know how to sit down and produce thoughts of mindfulness, concentration, understanding, and compassion, we change ourselves. We bring about collective, wholesome energy. And if many of us do the same thing, and sitting in the here and the now, we can change the future. We will be able to prevent that future to happen. We are in control. If we know how to get established in the here and the now firmly, and using right speech, right action, and right thinking, we can change the past, we can heal the past, and we can change the future. That is the teaching and the practice. Nothing is lost. It's like Lavoisier has said, nothing is created, nothing is lost. Everything changes. And that is why what we produce in terms of thinking, speech, and action will continue always. And of course, we want to continue beautifully. We are not only this body, because every day we produce ourselves in terms of thought, speech, and action. We are already there in the world. And if you look around you, you see you are already there. Your action has had an impact on the world, and you continue. One day this body, physical body, will disintegrate. And that is not your end. No. You continue always with your karma, means your action. Your action will never be lost. And that is why it's very important that in this present moment we should determine that we want to continue beautifully into the future. We want only to produce lovely thoughts, lovely speech, and lovely action. And this is possible with the Dharma, with the Sangha. We do together. And it is, if it is impossible for a cloud to die, it is also equally impossible for us to die. And the dissolution of this body is not death, is not my death. I continue always with my karma, my action. And karma has two aspects, individual and collective. We can do things together. We can think collectively. We can say things collectively. And we can do things collectively in order to change ourselves and change the world. We should know how to coordinate our action with the action of the Sangha, action of the world. So the idea, the notion that one day you will die without any continuation is a wrong view. You continue always. And it is possible to continue in beauty. And then with right view, with the insight of interbeing, it will be possible for us to have a right livelihood. The kind of livelihood that will make us sick and damage the planet Earth, the mother of all. Planet Earth, we should learn to look at her not as matter. Our mind discriminates between mind and matter. And we should look at the planet not as matter. That's an organism. And the earth to me is very holy. She's the Holy Mother. She has produced, she has given birth to many Buddhas, many saints, many Bodhisattvas. The Buddha Shakyamuni, our teacher, is a child of the earth. He's still there. And we are his continuation. Jesus Christ is a child of the earth. And Jesus is still there. You can recognize his presence because nothing is lost, nothing dies. With some mindfulness and concentration, we'll be able to see the Buddha Shakyamuni in our daily life. When you walk mindfully, you enjoy your in-breath and every step, I recognize in you a continuation of the Buddha. When you think without discrimination, when you think in terms of compassion, interbeing, I see you as the continuation of the Buddha. The Buddha is accessible in the here and the now. You don't see the cloud in the sky, but you can touch the cloud in your teeth. That is the wisdom of signlessness. You are not caught in a particular sign. And you can recognize the Buddha teacher in your daily life. If there is mindfulness, concentration, insight, non-discrimination, loving kindness, you see that the Buddha always continues, and he continues in you also. And Jesus Christ, he is there. If you have enough concentration and mindfulness, you can recognize his presence and the Holy Spirit that inhabit him. The story told in the Gospel, Luke 24. Two persons was walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And both were talking while walking. They did not do walking meditation. They talk about Jesus' crucifixion. They talk about the angel that remove the stone. They talk about the empty tomb. The dead body of Jesus was not there. They talk while walking. They were heading to a village called Emmaus. And then Jesus came along. But they did not recognize him. And Jesus said, "Dear friends, what are you talking about?" And they looked at him. They did not recognize him. They said, "You must be the only person visiting Jerusalem without knowing what is going on." He said Jesus was not mindful. He's not been aware of what is going on in Jerusalem, which is the opposite. And then they continue to walk. And then this night, and they want to stop and rest at the inn. So they invited Jesus to stop walking and going to rest for the night. And that night, the inn served them something to eat. And the two men sitting there and seeing Jesus, the way Jesus is breaking the bread, and they recognize him. There must be a way of breaking the bread that helps you to recognize Jesus as Jesus. We have seen many priests breaking the bread. But are we able to recognize the continuation of Jesus in them or not? That is the question. So with mindfulness and concentration, we should be able to recognize the living Christ in the here and the now, the living Buddha in the here and the now. Lord Jesus, I know you are there. I am very happy. Lord Buddha, we know that you are there and we are very happy. We want to be a good continuation of yours. That's a mantra that we may like to pronounced on this Easter Sunday. But there is a last thing to finish with the Eightfold Noble Path. Right diligence. You practice regularly. You don't abandon your practice. You continue your practice. And this is the way prescribed by the Buddha. How to define diligence? There's four levels, not four levels, but four aspects of the practice. The practice of mindfulness. In our consciousness, there is a lower level where we can find all kinds of materials. It's like your hard drive. The hard drive in your computer, a lot of materials are stored in the hard drive. So in the lower level of our consciousness, there is a lot of informations and grains and so on. And there is a grain of anger. There's a grain of despair. There's a grain of hope. There's a grain of loving kindness. All kinds of grains, positive and negative. In Buddhist psychology, we speak of consciousness in terms of grains, seeds, semences, potentials. When you water a grain, it will manifest. These grains. Chúng tử, bija in Sanskrit, are of 51 categories: craving, anger, ignorance, jealousy, fear, despair, are the kind of negative seeds. Loving kindness, compassion, joy, non-discrimination are some of the positive seeds. And the first aspect of the practice of diligence is that we should allow these seeds to slip quietly down there. Never allow them a chance to manifest up on the level of mind consciousness. Consciousness may be visualized as having two levels. And down here is a store consciousness with all kinds of seeds and informations. And up here there is mind consciousness, equivalent to the screen of our computer. And every time we sit down here, that is touch, that is water will manifest up here as a mental formation. This piece of paper is a physical formation. This hand is a physiological formation, and your anger is a mental formation. So the grain, the seed of anger here, when encounter some favorable conditions, will be able to manifest up here as a mental formation. And the landscape of the mind will be influenced by the mental formation. If it is a negative seed, and then the landscape of the mind will be less beautiful. You suffer. And that is why the first practice is to try to keep all these negative seeds slipping quietly down there, not allowing them a chance to come up. And that needs your talent, your skillfulness, creating the environment, because the environment will have the effect of turning on these negative seeds. Think of your living, of your neighborhood, to see whether it is a good environment. If in that neighborhood people are too angry, too despair, too violent, and that environment will touch and turn off the worst seeds in us, the genes in the cells of our body. And if you think that the environment is not good, you cannot practice the first aspect of diligence, and then you have to evacuate. You have to go out and look for a better environment. Otherwise, you and your children will be contaminated, because that helps the worst seed to manifest every day and several times. Anytime a seed down here manifests, and if we allow that mental formation to stay a bit too long up there, and then at the base, it will grow. But if we do not have give them a chance, they slip quietly down here, down there, and they become weaker and weaker, having no chance to manifest. This is the first aspect of the practice. And you can help your colleague, your partner to practice. You sign a treaty of practice with him or her. You say, "Darling, you know that I have these seeds in me, not so beautiful. So if you really care for me, please do not water the seed of anger, of fear, of jealousy in me. If you do, I will suffer, and you have to suffer with me." So if you care, please try not to water these seeds. And I promise, darling, that I will do the same. I know you also have these seeds. And I promise not to water them in our daily life. So you sign the treaty with him or her. And not only you and the other person, but the environment, the kind of television program that you watch, the kind of film, the kind of music, the kind of conversation that you are having may be able to turn on these energies that are unwholesome. And that is why we need the fifth mindfulness trainings about mindful consumption, in order to protect us, not to allow these negative seeds, the chance to manifest. the second aspect of the practice of diligence is that if by chance a negative seed has already manifest, and then do something, try to do something in order to give it a chance to go home, to go down here as quickly as possible. You don't have to suppress, you don't have to fight. But there are skillful ways for you to do in order to invite it back down there with non-violence. And one of the best ways is to invite a good seed here to come up. It's like you have CDs of good music and of music that are not so good. So when a bad piece of music is there, don't allow it to continue. You can change the CD. You can ask good music to come up to replace. And you have plenty of good things down there. You have many good CDs in there. Fortunately, the grain, the seed of understanding, the seed of love, compassion, forgiveness, all of us have them. So we have to learn how to invite them to manifest. And when they have manifested, the other seed will withdraw. That is the teaching of the Buddha. This is an art. The practice is an art. And the third aspect of the practice is that the good seeds down here do something. Give them chances in order to manifest. The seed of right thinking, the seed of compassion, the seed of right speech. Invite them to come up. Welcome them. And when they come up like that, the landscape of your mind consciousness will be beautiful. And the fourth aspect of the practice is that as these beautiful seeds have manifested up there, try to keep them there as long as possible. Because if you keep them long up here, down here, they will continue to grow. And that is what we call transformation at the base. To make the negative seeds weaker and weaker, to make the positive seeds stronger and stronger. And that is why the practitioner is like a gardener. So this is the path of practice recommended by the Buddha. The Noble Eightfold Path, comprising of right view, right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right diligence, right mindfulness, right concentration, would bring about the insight of interbeing. And we remember that mindfulness and concentration can be present in every practice, and this is a very concrete expression of the practice of mindfulness, leading to joy, leading to liberation, leading to true happiness. The 14 mindfulness trainings and the 5 mindfulness trainings are real practice of mindfulness, and they reflect the teaching of the Buddha on the Eight Noble Path. It's a very beautiful path to take to create happiness and to heal and to transform suffering. The French novelist Albert Camus wrote a novel called L'Étranger, The Stranger. And he talked about the movement of consciousness, the conscious, the mindful movement. He described people as not being very alive. There was a person who is about to be executed because he had killed someone. And there was a Catholic priest trying to come and help him in the last moment of his life. But he refused. He refused to meet the priest. He did not think that the priest can help him. A few hours before, he was lying down on his cell and looking up. And there was a skylight. And through the skylight, he saw a piece of blue sky. And he suddenly had an impression that it is the first time in his life that he sees the blue sky. He's about 24, 25 years old. And yet he said that it is the first time that he sees the blue sky. This is not possible. A person of 25 years see the blue sky for the first time. That's not possible. But that is what he said. Maybe because he was about to be executed, that's why he tried to get in touch deeply with what is there. And there, a flash of mindfulness come, and that is why he recognized the blue sky as something so wonderful. The kingdom of God, the pure land of the Buddha, the mystery of life. And that is why he refused the visit of the priest. He described the priest as living like a dead person. He did not believe that the priest has that insight in him and could not help him. So on the day, on the Easter Sunday, it may be meaningful for us to reflect a little bit on the idea of resurrection. When we do walking meditation, we may notice that around us, people are walking in such a way that do not seem to prove that they are alive. They walk, but they don't know that they are walking. They are not alive. They carry their dead body and circulate around you. And they need a flash of mindfulness in order to be resurrected. They need only to bring attention to the in-breath and breathe in and become alive and become real in the here and the now. So the practice of mindfulness, of breathing, of walking, can help resurrect us at any moment. We become alive again every time mindfulness begins to inhabit us. And mindfulness, as I see it, is the Holy Spirit. When you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, you are alive. You are truly there, and you have the power to heal. And that is why the practice of mindfulness will help us become alive again and again every time we put it into practice. So today, walking meditation, we will do in that spirit, and we feel that Jesus Christ is walking with us, and we recognize Him around us and inside of us.